Good evening. This is the Herb Lady, Susan Gingrich, calling from Ohio, and we have Thomas Easley on the line from Alabama. And tonight we are going to be talking about the glandular system and the herbs you can use to get yourself back in tune, so to speak. We've been talking about this as an analogy with an orchestra, that all of the different glands in the system have to do with different sounds. It all has to blend together very nicely. And, you know, I was thinking, since we talked about this, Thomas, before, it's sort of the mood stuff of the body. When you're talking about the glandular system, we're talking about happy, sad, anger, rage, just plain doldrums, hormonal imbalance, blood sugar imbalance, livers that go off. It's all in the endocrine system. Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah.
I think that the moods are a reflection of your endocrine health.
They really, really are. And when you find yourself being really moody or unable to get yourself motivated, all that sort of thing, you might want to look to what we have to offer you this evening on the show and some various foods that you can give yourself just simply to feed your endocrine system. Okay, so let's get her going. I believe it's 7 different glands. I didn't really count them. We're going to talk about the pituitary gland and the pineal gland that are in the top of the middle of the brain, the thyroid and its teammate, the parathyroid, there in the throat. Thymus gland is in the chest area, and then the adrenal glands sit on top of the kidneys. You've got the pancreas, which regulates blood sugar, and you have the sex hormones, the ovaries, the gonads, and then we want to tie it all up with the connection with all those to the liver and how it feeds into all of the situations. Okay, so let's start in the head. The pituitary gland, I see it as the conductor of the orchestra. He's got a little friend sitting right beside him called the pineal gland, and that's the fellow that writes the music, and then he sits there on the side of the dais and he listens while the pituitary gland actually calls for more, you know, drum beat or more less over here and more over there and getting everybody in tune. Because the glandular system will actually pinch it for each other in an effort to keep the music happy. So, okay, the pituitary gland. Do you want to say anything more about the overall, how they work together?
No, I think let's just go ahead and talk about the pituitary gland as being the governing mechanism of the hormones in the body.
Yeah.
The pituitary gland signals all the rest of the glandular system to produce more hormones or less hormones depending on what the pituitary gland is reading in the hormonal situation of the body. And the pituitary
I was going to say there's an anterior and a posterior, and the pituitary gland literally sends the signals out to produce more hormones in each of the glands. For example, if your blood sugar goes high, it will call up some pancreas production of insulin. If your thyroxine starts to go low, it will call up by sending T4 out to the system and call up more T3. So that's its job. And one of the things that I wanted to say, first of all, is that you could use a glandular formula to kind of take care of the whole darn system. But the very first thing you need is chlorophyll. And chlorophyll, of course, is the green stuff in plants. It's been, it's been known forever that if you eat green things that you will improve your health. But this will specifically improve the function of the glandular system. Did you want to say something, Thomas?
Yeah, I think that your second most important thing besides chlorophyll, which contains the copper, to help the pituitary system is silica in an organic form, which you find in the stalks of vegetables like celery. That's what makes it stiff yet flexible, and that's the way our skin should be, and also in the bones of meat that you eat. So if you cook chicken or turkey or beef or whatever it may be sure to save the bones and boil them up into a broth, and that broth has lots of silica in there. Now, the pituitary gland actually runs on a silica chip just like a computer. And so that's how the silica helps to regulate all of the hormones in the body. Some herbs that are high in silica would be horsetail, my favorite combination of herbs for that would be HSNW. It's a hair, skin, and nail formula. It's
horsetail, by the way, grows in the elbows of streams around here. It's a sort of an asparagus-like plant. It's very deep green, and it's just coming up this time of year in Ohio. As it gets older, it gets really tough, but you can actually eat it this time of year like you would asparagus. And it is just loaded with silica. And inorganic silica would be sand, which we use in steel to make it more flexible. And organic silica, which comes from plants, does the same thing for us. It makes us much more flexible and stronger. So it's a good building material in the body. And you'll find it in vegetables right under the skin. For example, in sweet potatoes, it's right there. So always eat the skin of your sweet potato, okay?
Yes.
All right. You mentioned before that copper is very good for varicose veins and graying hair.
Yeah, that's one of the major indicators of a copper deficiency in the body is premature graying, varicose veins, and hemorrhoids. And that's because copper does for the arteries what silica does for the skin. It makes it flexible. And so it also turns your hair dark. If you prematurely gray or you have arteries that tend to break instead of bend, you have a copper deficiency, which also means that you're predisposed towards heart and brain aneurysms.
That's really interesting. So if you start to have prematurely graying hair, which I consider any graying hair, you would want to look to making sure you have enough copper in your system by drinking a product like liquid chlorophyll or some sort of green drink of some sort. Anytime you eat your vegetables that are green, you'll get that too.
And, well, you can look at probably the most popular gray white-headed person in history. You see a picture of him all the time with his white hair sticking out all over the place, and that's Einstein. And he died of a brain aneurysm, a simple copper deficiency.
Yeah. That's not what made you so smart, was it?
I wouldn't think so.
Something else did that. But yeah, and I always have always looked at B vitamins, too, for graying hair because of the stress factor in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that reverse. But another herb that just happens to really help with graying hair, if anybody's interested in this, is sage. It'll help to reverse the process of graying hair.
Yeah, which is high in copper as well.
I'm sure it is. It would have to be high in copper or it wouldn't do the job. That's interesting. Okay, so that's what the pituitary does. It regulates the whole darn mess, and all it can do to regulate the hormones is actually call up production of more. It can't get rid of stuff that's in the system. So when your insulin goes high, it can't have anything to do with reducing it. All it can do is call up more. It's kind of a key factor in this whole business. So that's where we have to feed the gland so that it can function properly and regulate itself too. Okay, so Master Gland Formula is a product that will cover, it has something for everything in the glandular system. And I think it's a really good formula. It's a Nature Sunshine product. It's a good one for tying the whole system together and just really making sure that everybody's got something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And another one that I didn't think of earlier was Energy B. It's got ginseng. It's got licorice. It's got a good energizing herb for each of the glands in the system as well. And oddly enough, that product helps with children with ADD very often. Now, as we talk through these glands, you'll see probably why that would help. But by supporting these glands, it actually brings up the energy level so that the child can relax. Because his parasympathetic nervous system is so fried that he can't sort out any extraneous sounds. So by bringing up the glandular system, by providing it with all it needs, you'll actually calm down an ADD child. And you'll see it in some of these glands as we go through. Okay, so the thyroid gland.
Forget the pineal gland.
Oh, let's go back to the pineal gland. And I think this is the one that really ties us into the emotional levels of the whole glandular system. The pineal gland is where you will get the smells from aromatherapy, and that's an emotional straightening out right away just from the smell of those oils. And I would recommend lavender oil as something that everybody ought to carry with them. It really helps to calm down the adrenal glands. It's a de-stressor, and that really helps with the whole system. You want to say anything more about that?
I really like jasmine oil also. Personally, it's been the best oil for me, but it's as relaxing for guys as lavender is for women. It's a great oil to use to help with that.
You have extensive taste. Jasmine is about, what, $35 for half an ounce? The reason it's so expensive, by the way, just so you know, is that they have to pick the flowers at night. So they have to hire pickers to pick these jasmine flowers when they're open in the nighttime. That's part of why it's so expensive. And it's a fragile flower, too, so it takes a lot of petals to make the oil. Oh, jasmine is a beautiful scent. Do you like cinnamon?
Yes, I do like cinnamon. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's been rated the number one male aphrodisiac in this country. Men love the smell of cinnamon. Yeah, so that will help with, let me get down to the testosterone here later. Okay, so now should we go to thyroid?
Sure, thyroid.
The thyroid is in the throat. I wanted to say that in Ohio and Michigan, I've been told that this is the goiter belt of the United States. This is where people have a lot of trouble with thyroids, partly because we do not have any source of iodine in our diet. It's just not in pot roast and potatoes. You know, you got to have green things, and seaweed is best. People who live on the shores, I'm told, will actually breathe in seaweed, and it'll come into the system through the lungs. So you have a little bit of a, you know, a backup system for getting the iodine in. Now, I've had people, when I say, let's look at your thyroid, because they have the symptoms of a low thyroid, and they'll say, oh, no, my doctor has checked that, and he says it's fine. So it must be some other reason that I'm so depressed. But the truth is that where that thyroid should be is smack in the middle of the chest. And it may take years for it to work its way down to the point where finally it's at the edge of the range and the doctor says, oh, your thyroid just died. Well, it didn't just die. You haven't fed it for years and years and years. So it slowly starved to death. The symptoms of a lowering thyroid would be brittle, thinning hair, dry skin, a low body temperature. In fact, they used to measure thyroid function by taking a temperature. You put your thermometer on the bed at night and put it under your arm first thing in the morning for 10 minutes. And then over a 10-day period, average your temperatures. And if it's below 97.7, you have a low thyroid. And that's the way they used to test it. So you really don't need to do the blood work. You can get a test just from under the arm. Okay, so you're getting tired and tired and more sluggish. You have to beat yourself out of bed every morning. And then finally he says you've got a low thyroid. At that point, you must take Synthroid or a thyroxine substance, or you could go into a coma. So it is important to take the substances in any of these glandular situations if they go so low that you don't have any left. I mean, you could literally put yourself down under. Now, if it starts to go high, you'll start to get hyperactive, eyes bulge out, you have Graves' disease. You get really touchy. People can't touch you. You'd want to jump out of your skin. And you might recognize some of the symptoms from hyperactivity in this condition. As you pointed out earlier, iodine takes care of both high and low. The medical treatment for high thyroid, though, is to give you an iodine pill that kills off your thyroid, and then they can treat you by giving you Synthroid. That seems like a rather drastic way to go to me, and I have found that we've been able to balance even high thyroid just by feeding the thyroid properly and then making sure the signal is coming from the pituitary by making sure you have green things in your system. Go, Thomas, your turn. Are you there? Oh, Thomas. Did we lose Thomas? Am I here? Okay, iodine is something that is available in seaweed, as I said. One of the things that happens is that with the heavier metal substances, not metals, but the certain minerals, iodine, chlorine, bromine, and fluorine will all replace the iodine. So if you're taking in any of those substances, you'll actually not be able to take up the iodine. Now, it used to be that when we baked bread, we put some iodine in the loaf of bread, and even store-bought bread had iodine added. Now they have put in bromine instead, and so as you eat your bread, you're actually reducing your iodine instead of building it up. We're taking salt in that is iodized, but it's an inorganic iodine, and it's not as easy to take in. Whenever you use chlorine, again, you lose iodine, and even if you bathe in a chlorine bath, you'll soak that into the skin, and you'll start to see your iodine uptake diminish. Using fluorine in a toothpaste will do the same thing. So your sources of iodine are seaweed. I had a woman call me one time, and she had taken in a foreign exchange student from Norway, and she lived right up the road. And within 1 week, this bright, happy, healthy 17-year-old girl was feeling miserable. She called home to her mother and told her that she thought she was probably dying. She'd never felt so bad in her life. And her mother said, "Dear, are you eating any seaweed?" She turned to her host mother here in Ohio and said, "Are we eating any seaweed?" And the mother said, "Where would we get seaweed? We don't eat that here." So they came down, they got a bottle of kelp from us, and within a day, she was back to normal. But here's a girl who's perfectly healthy, who comes into Ohio, and within 1 week of eating the fast food stuff, the chicken nuggets, whatever it was she'd gotten a hold of, she was flat out tired, exhausted, and felt miserable. And it just kind of demonstrated to me how many of the people around me here just kind of beat themselves up every day just to get going, and they continue to run on no thyroid, and it really makes a huge difference to get iodine in. So we really have to make an effort too. And I also want to say that in our soils here, we know that they're depleted of selenium, and selenium is important for the thyroid to function, as is thiamine. And your pH needs to be nearly perfect in order to take iodine up. Some of the sources that we have for iodine are seaweed. I've got a product called Thyroid Activator that is a blend of 4 seaweeds. Then we've got one called Thyroid Support, which is seaweeds plus thyroid substance from a bovine source in New Zealand. There's another product by prescription that Thomas will probably talk about. It's called Iodorol, and he was telling me earlier that we need 13.5 milligrams of iodine every day to really feel good. And if you're low on iodine, you want to really pump up on it, like front-end load it. Take a bunch of it to begin with and really get that in there. And ladies, we need more iodine than men because our breast tissue and uterus tissue all require a certain amount of that. In women, about 85% goes to thyroid, and the rest of it, there's about 15% goes to the uterus. One of the reasons that we end up with fibrocystic problems, where the endometriosis is what I'm trying to say, in the uterine area is a shortage of iodine. And one of the treatments that you could do would be to douche with liquid chlorophyll, about a tablespoon of liquid chlorophyll and a teaspoon of liquid dolls. And another remedy would be to use a tampon with about a teaspoon of liquid dolls or iodine right on it, and you'll see a huge improvement in that within days. So that's just a real easy way to deal with that. Now, the thyroid regulates the heartbeat. It regulates hormone balance in the body. So if you're having a PMS problem, you can look back to the thyroid for the solution. If you're having a heart rate problem, you might consider that. Look at whether you're unable to lose weight, because the thyroid also regulates the metabolism. In other words, what your comfortable weight would be is determined by the thyroid. One of the ways you can get your weight down when you're working with a thyroid is to use something called 7-keto. But you will also find that when you use seaweed, that increases your metabolism, and that will help to lose the weight that happens with thyroid. Thomas, are you back yet? Did I hear something? Nope. Okay, we'll just keep marching. I hope we can find him. Don,
yes.
I can give you a phone number.
Okay. We're on the air. We're on the air still.
Actually,
you have his... Yes, I do. Did you want me to go ahead and keep trying here?
On his cell phone, yeah.
You've got it.
Okay, thanks.
Now, I have a question. This is a great topic. My wife is allergic to iodine. You know, the kind where deathly allergic to it. What would you take in that situation?
Allergic to iodine or allergic to seaweed?
The iodine, I guess. Yeah, shellfish, all forms of fish. It's the iodine, I guess. She can't have regular salt sort of thing.
How is she with seaweed? Have you ever tried that?
No, I don't think she's tried seaweed, funny enough.
There might be a difference between inorganic and organic. with her, and I'm trying to think what to do. When Thomas comes home, we're gonna ask him that.
Okay.
See if you can find him.
You got it. Well, yeah. I'll put him on. I'll go keep
all
trying
right.
to get him.
Good. We had a lady one time whose thyroid went crazy high, and one of the things we had to do with her was to start her on progesterone cream, which is the precursor to all the hormones in the system. And by adding the progesterone, it just helped enough to that the body didn't have to work quite as hard and the thyroid didn't have to regulate so much. So when a woman starts to use progesterone cream, I find that thyroid can just kind of relax a little bit. And as we reach menopausal age, girls, we get really crazy with this. Are you back?
I'm back.
Okay. I think we had to go to your cell phone to find you. We're still talking about thyroids.
Okay.
And I've already talked about sources, but we have a question from Don. His wife is allergic to iodine.
Ah, nobody is allergic to iodine. If you did not have iodine, you would die. Now, most people that are allergic to iodine are allergic to iodine from shellfish sources, but they're normally okay on seaweed sources. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, by the way. Thank you. Thank you. That's great information because she's deathly allergic to any sort of seafood or anything, and they told her it was the iodine. She doesn't use iodine for anything, and I guess they did some iodine test on her, and so I don't know, or some sort of test on her, because she's went to the hospital last three times she's eaten or even gotten close to fish. She doesn't use any salt.
And what type of reaction does she have?
Well, it just closes her throat completely, very quickly.
I had that reaction to an amoxicillin one time.
What I would recommend is try a very small dose of kelp and have Benadryl handy in case the reaction does start, because Benadryl will counteract it if it does.
Yeah, good idea. It usually Benadryl is great, isn't it? I mean, that is one medication, folks, believe it or not, that I actually,
Yeah, no, I'm not opposed to medication at all when it comes to extreme circumstances.
Yeah, well, exactly. Benadryl is good for those sorts of situations.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to test that gingerly, but stay away from the iodized salt.
So kelp or kelp. Said kelp, right?
Yeah, I would start her off on kelp. It's a mild form. It's a little bit more mild than Dulce. And I would try her on one capsule of kelp, see how she reacts, have some Benadryl on hand. A lot of times what happens is if it's not a true allergic reaction,
right.
The thyroid is so clogged up with bromides that any iodine you get displaces those bromides, and bromines are poison to
right.
the body, basically.
Yes.
And when you're displacing that large amount of bromine from,
I have a question. I know you're right, but the weirdest thing that keeps creeping to mind is bromide filters in your hot tubs, which are standard now instead of chlorine filters.
Right, yeah, it's...
Why would they then use that?
Well, bromides are going to do the same thing as chlorines. They're going to displace iodine from the body, but they don't smell as bad and they don't cause as much itching, so it's the lesser of the evil.
But aren't bromides really bad for health? Or
they are. They're poison. They're literally poison. They are a part of chemotherapies.
Yeah,
and
but to put
warfare.
That, yeah, that's what amazes me when they started coming out with those filters. I mean, I didn't know much at the time, but I thought, now that's got to be pretty unreasonable considering what they taught us in basic high school chemistry.
Yeah.
I just thought of something, Don.
Yes.
Have her take selenium and thiamine along with, just before she tries that, because those are important for the uptake of iodine as well.
Selenium? With an F?
Selenium.
With an
selenium
F?
And thiamine.
Selenium.
It's a B vitamin.
Thiamine.
Thiamine, yeah, and selenium.
Got it. All right.
Say something, Thomas. Go ahead.
I'm trying to remember what all I was going to say. As far as the hot tubs, there is an expensive start, but you can get a copper and a silver ionization unit for hot tubs or swimming pools. They cost around $1,400 to start and install, and it's got a little stick of silver and a little stick of copper in there. and it breaks that down into an ionic solution and shoots it into the water, and the copper kills all the algae and the silver kills all the bacteria and virus.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I've used personally for
hospitals. Wow, wow, okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
You gotta watch out for the water you soak in.
I gotta start listening to your program more. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did.
I mean, you'd be surprised. One 10-minute shower will displace your RDA 150 micrograms of iodine from the body.
Amazing.
It's absorbing it to the skin.
Yeah.
It's absorbing the chlorine and bromine to the skin.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get a shower filter to get the chlorine out of the water, and it's probably a worthwhile thing to do. I live out in the country, so I don't have chlorine to worry about.
Yeah.
And
but
the
we
shower
do put
filter.
A softener in, mm-hmm. and I've discovered that I retain more water since we got the softener because of the, what is that stuff? It's just sodium, you know, it salts you up and your balance goes
off. Oh, does it ever. You know, especially if you're moving from one place to another, boy, you feel that disturbance in the water.
Yeah.
The showerhead filter.
So definitely drink good water. This is really important for the whole glandular system, too. Drink good RO water and enough of it to get you good and thoroughly wet down.
You got it.
It would be your weight divided in half and that many ounces a day.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Is there another question?
Thank you. No, that's fabulous. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Thyroid and hot tub. There's a whole new book. Thomas, I never
there we
thought
go.
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
is that it?
I say that the showerhead filters are really inexpensive. They're around $30 or $35. They last for 6 to 8 months, depending on usage. And it's just a carbon and quartz filter. You can get bath balls also that contain that. You just throw them in a bathtub, and they suck up all the chlorine and bromine out of there in about 5 minutes.
Now, I use Epsom salts a lot in my bathtub, and then I'll throw oils in and just really enjoy the soak. And I'm suspicious that because it balances the pH, that it probably does some repair work on my thyroid at the same time.
I'm sure it does.
Did you know anything about that? But I just love it. It just feels so good just to be in there with the Epsom salt. So y'all ought to try that. It's a good. It pulls too. It takes out aches and pains. If you have a sprained ankle or something, that will help to eliminate some of that puffiness and so forth. So it's a good way to balance out your system. Shall we touch on to the adrenals?
Did you mention about hiatal hernias and thyroids?
I did not. You do that.
Okay, so a hiatal hernia is when the stomach gets pushed up into the diaphragm from the adrenal glands releasing epinephrine and adrenaline and causing that stress reaction that closes off the digestive system to focus more energy into running or fighting, the fight or flight syndrome. And when it pushes that stomach up into the diaphragm, it puts a kink in your esophagus, which presses against the thyroid and will either overstimulate or understimulate the thyroid. So if you have digestive issues, and we talked earlier about the thyroid glandular type. If you're tall, skinny, with a long neck, you're going to have a extremely high metabolism and well-functioning thyroid when you're young. And about the age of 35, it burns out and you start gaining weight around the midsection. Those people are prone to hiatal hernias as well. So if you have a hiatal hernia and digestive issues, be sure to take care of that to get your thyroid working properly.
And how would you take care of that? I would pull the stomach down to stretch the esophagus, and you can work that yourself. Just reach in under the sternum and push down. If you're having heartburn in the nighttime, which is when most people do it, just lean against a wall and push that down.
I have a question.
So the stomach comes down where it should go, and that'll stretch the esophagus so that the valve up there, the hiatal valve, will shut and keep the stomach acid in the stomach where it belongs. And that'll help to cure that whole thing. And then take enzymes with every meal. We all need them. We don't get enough enzymes in our food because we can't eat 80% of our food raw and fresh straight from the garden.
So
everybody needs at least 2 enzymes with a meal. Now, you got a question? Go ahead.
Oh, no. It really wasn't a question. It was more of there's, you know, a lot of listeners, they probably want to call in, and I was thinking if we...
Oh, yeah. Let's give the number.
Well, the thing is, we would have to put you both on the same line. Remember, it's the daily schedule. The late night has 4 lines, but this has 2. So we would have to...
Why don't we save a time at the end for questions?
Okay.
And we'll make that switch in about... You want to do that?
Well, it's up
to you.
Yeah, well, I would have to pull you both off the air. That's what I was trying to say. I'd have to pull you both off the air. We'd have to go to an interlude for about, 30 seconds, and then we'd be back.
Well, I tell you what, why don't the last, say, 5 minutes, you just kick me off the air and let Susan answer questions. Will that work?
While I start answering questions, then you can get him back on.
Yeah,
well, it doesn't. About the last 10 minutes, I'll say it's time to do that. You kick us off, and you can take on a question, and then we'll come back on and answer it. Okay?
Now I'm confused.
You want to do it now?
Well, let's do it now, and I'll put you both on one line, an analog line. It's going to sound perfect. Anybody can call in. You won't hear any more choppiness.
Okay.
You know how you're getting a little choppiness? That's because it's a digital line. And
okay, great.
Yeah, your line and the digital aren't really compatible, it seems.
Okay. You want to use my landline? Do you have the
other number? You're on a digital right now?
Well, I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, no, that's okay, as long as I don't call you on a digital.
Okay.
Because I'm calling you on a digital, and I'm calling your cell, and both of them are kind of playing havoc with each other.
Okay,
folks, we'll be back in a few seconds. Stick around.
Something that you wouldn't even deal with if you went to the doctor. But, you know, the adrenal glands produce adrenaline. And in a stressful situation, you either run away or you want to hit somebody. And that would be adrenaline or epinephrine, which is produced by the adrenal glands. One of the things the adrenal glands does is it regulates the mineral flow in the body. And as minerals are used at the cellular level, you will set up the Krebs cycle, which is the energy production in the whole system. And that will regulate the flow of energy through the body and the transportation. So if you're feeling like a big, dull rock on a couch, your adrenals are probably completely exhausted. They've been trying to pinch it for the thyroid, for the pancreas, and they'll even produce hormones for the sex glands when necessary. But when they're exhausted, you just feel like you've been fried. And, of course, stress is a big part of it. And you want to talk about caffeine and how that affects the adrenals, Thomas?
Sure. The adrenal glands produce minute amounts of adrenaline and epinephrine all throughout the day. That's what gives you a little bit of pep in your step, a little bit of energy. And then when you're under stress, it produces large amounts to help you run away faster, fight really hard. That's the fight-or-flight syndrome. So, for instance, if you're walking through the woods and a bear jumps out at you, your body produces large amounts of stress hormones to help you run away. And one cup of coffee produces the same hormones, the same stress hormones, as a bear jumping out at you. It scares the body, basically. Produces lots of hormones that shut down digestion and divert blood flow and all types of crazy stuff. And so one caffeinated drink is, one a day is one too many, is what I tell clients. I enjoy caffeine as much as the next person. I used to drink 12 to 14 Coca-Colas a day when I was a kid, and I had adrenal burnout. I actually had beginning stages of Addison's disease by the time I was 15. And so I know what it feels like to not want to get out of bed every morning, to be tired and exhausted all the time.
And when your adrenals are exhausted, you can't sleep. Right when you need this, it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you're wide awake staring at the ceiling.
Yeah, if you can drink a cup of coffee and go to bed, your adrenals are burned out. That's one of the key indicators is caffeine has no effect on you anymore. At least one cup of caffeine does.
You know, I'm thinking that some hyperactive kids, this is part of the problem too, because they're so burned out that they are actually relaxed by caffeine and Ritalin, which is a stimulant.
Yes.
Slows them down. And I'm thinking that the adrenals and the thyroid are both very much involved in hyperactivity. I know that minerals make a huge difference for those kids. That's the very first thing I put them on is a trace mineral supplement, and it will calm them down. And as I said before, the adrenals are what regulate the minerals in the body. So this is definitely something that's affected by that. But you'll calm down by supplying the adrenals with what they need. We've got a product called Energy V that I give to hyperactive kids all the time, and the parents will look at you with big eyes and say, no, he's got too much energy. Don't give him that. But it, what it does is to support the whole glandular system, and they're able to calm down because now it's fed and they're like out of that severe stress zone where they're trying to run away from everything, and they're up to where they can relax. So it's a real interesting combination.
Yeah, and that's okay. You know, that's dealing with the whole sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, and that can be a complicated issue in really advanced cases of ADD and ADHD, especially in adults. I tell them that a little bit of stimulation is okay. You know, a cup of green tea can relax somebody if they have ADD because it helps that parasympathetic-sympathetic balance going on.
Anything else about adrenals?
A couple of products that are commonly used.
Oh, that's right, licorice. And adrenal support. Go ahead.
Licorice and adrenal support. Adrenal support is the strongest one that I know, and it's a glandular. It actually has a little bit of bovine adrenal gland in there, so all of the elements that make up your adrenal glands are found in every adrenal gland in every animal, basically, and this provides those raw elements for you and help you rebuild a lot faster. The old rule was about 4 months to rebuild the adrenal glands. With adrenal support, I find that about a month and a half is what you need. And licorice root is the second. Go ahead, Susan.
And licorice root, by the way, if anybody ever gets hoarse, loses their voice, I find that licorice root will bring that right back up. And I don't know what the connection is to the adrenals, but it seems like when I'm really tired, my voice goes. Mm-hmm. And I have just a little bit of licorice root right away, and it comes right back.
Yeah.
So if anybody's prone to laryngitis, try it. It's real interesting. Okay.
One contraindication with licorice root is if you have high blood pressure, about 10% of the time it can elevate already high blood pressure. So be careful with licorice if you are dealing with blood pressure issues.
Also, the adrenals produce cortisol when you're inflamed. Okay, so any inflammation will bring out the cortisol, and you will put a rubber tire around the middle when your adrenals are like overactive. And cortisol is what will put that spare tire around the middle. So if you have weight right in the middle only, then you might consider, we've got a product called cortisol formula, which helps to support the adrenals and get rid of that cortisol. You've seen that advertised on TV. There's a product that does that one. And I also want to say that when you take cortisone, which is a drug, you create a severe addiction to cortisone very easily, where you cannot get off of it because your adrenals are trapped with it, because it replaces the cortisol production. I've had several people who cannot get off of it. So don't be in a big rush to go under a cortisone inhaler if you have asthma. It's really hard to quit. Okay, shall we, what should we do here? We've got just about 20 minutes. If you want to save diabetes for a full hour sometime?
Yeah, that'd probably be a good thing. It's a pretty in-depth topic.
It is. Let's save the pancreas back here. The pancreas, and we'll just do it real quick here, but we've got lots more we could say about it. Hypoglycemia is the precursor to diabetes, and what it is low blood sugar. High blood sugar is when the pancreas finally can't keep up with all those spikes that you do daily with your donuts and your caffeine and your alcohol and your nicotine and your food allergies like dairy and wheat. All of those things will spike the blood sugar. You have to produce insulin to bring that back into range, and finally the pancreas wears out. First of all, you're not giving it the raw materials it needs to make the insulin, and that would be vitamin B, C, chromium especially. And it just is not designed to work at the pace that we do in our culture at all. In the wild, when we were cavemen, we maybe hit something that would raise our blood sugar once every 4 days, and we're doing it to ourselves every hour through the day. You've seen kids drinking pop continuously. That will just throw you into a complete breakdown.
And one Coca-Cola has 11 teaspoons of sugar, or what is the equivalent in cane foot?
It's 34 cane feet of sugar cane in one can of pop. We were not designed to sit down and eat it like that. And when they refine it, it's just like jet fuel. And then on top of that, we have things like Red Bull and you know, even higher caffeinated drinks than that. Mountain Dew used to be a real hit, but now there are so many that are much more than that. But you will kill the adrenal glands and the pancreas with those kinds of drinks.
And we'll save the insulin resistance till next time.
Yeah, that's a whole topic right in itself. In fact, I think I may have done it at some point back, but it's an American tragedy, the way we actually create the diabetes by wearing out the pancreas. And we will. We'll just do that whole topic again. Okay, so let's get into the sex hormones, Ben. women. We need, we have these phases in our lives, first of all. Throughout our life, we have been given estrogen for birth control pills. When we reach menopause, if we haven't already had a hysterectomy, they give us Premarin anyway, which is pregnant mare's urine. It's a high source of estrogen. The sad thing is the way they make it. They get a mother horse pregnant, and they won't give her enough water so that her urine will be concentrated, as if they couldn't do that on their own. So they keep her pregnant and keep her not drinking enough water, and that urine is what Premarin is. It provides estrogen to the system, but what actually gives you the bone density and the better mood and so forth is progesterone. And I heard a doctor, what's his name? I can't think of his name. He spoke about this at one of the conventions one time, and he was a gynecologist, and he had done his entire career never using any estrogen products. He only used progesterone for as many as three generations in one family. So the product has been around for a long time, and it's been not given to us simply because it's not patentable. Premarin, or horse's urine, is. So there was a big study that was done on Premarin, I'm thinking 3 or 4 years ago, where they discovered that it caused so many heart attacks and increased cancer risk to the point where they stopped the five-year study about halfway through because the study itself was too dangerous to women. And yet they're still prescribing Premarin. So I would recommend, ladies, you look into progesterone cream with a wild yam source. My husband says that every man should have a 50-gallon barrel drum with a dart gun that you could put the progesterone on the end and then shoot it into the pen so that you don't have to get close. I don't know why he would say that about women. I can't imagine.
I think I have some idea.
You know my daughter. That could be why. Yeah, I guess we women seem a little bit touchy sometimes to the guys we love the most, and they're the ones that we want to eat, you know, when we get into one of those mood swings. But the connection with the thyroid to the progesterone is that the thyroid is what regulates that breakdown of hormones and helps the body to produce the estrogen that it needs and so forth. So I just wanted to go off on that for some reason.
Okay.
Thomas, your turn. Talk.
Okay, so let's talk about a couple of male things here. Testosterone is commonly thought of as a male hormone. It actually, females have testosterone also.
When we're feeling strong and energetic, right?
Yes. And guys use testosterone. That's generally what's considered to be the aggressive, more energetic of the masculine hormones. And the body produces it, but it also breaks it down. And it helps break it down by getting exercise every day. Your average guy needs at least an hour of hard physical exercise a day. Your what we call adrenal body type, short, stocky guys with no necks, need 2 hours of exercise every day to break that down. If not, you get testosterone breaking down in what's called dihydrotestosterone, which is a very nasty metabolite of regular testosterone that causes the prostate to swell. And so you have problems like benign prostate hypertrophy, followed by prostate cancer, and erectile dysfunction is thrown in there as well. And all of these can be remedied by exercise and getting an amino acid called L-arginine, which increases circulation throughout the body. It also has what's known as a nitric oxygen system to it, just like the nitrous oxygen system is what guys tend to use their testosterone to fuel their fast cars with. Same thing with erectile dysfunction. As long as you have that going on, you won't have erectile dysfunction. So L-arginine helps that. In fact, that's what Viagra was based on, with the NOS system from the L-arginine.
I heard Jack Richardson talking about Viagra just as it was coming out many years ago. And he said that we would see lots of people having heart attacks during a sexual act because it overrides the circulation. Now, arginine, on the other hand, supports the circulation so that it's not dangerous. And it's known as the poor man's Viagra.
And we have a great combination specifically for erectile dysfunction called the men's X action. And it has the L-arginine in there, as well as some of your typical male herbs like yohimbe and morapuma and
Damiana is in there.
Damiana is in there as well. And all of these help to stimulate sexual arousal.
Oh, I just thought of what else is in there. I forgot about this one. It's called horny goatweed.
Yes.
Do you remember when they... Yeah, I love the name of it. But it's named after, you know, horny goats love it. So you too can have some. I find that I give wedding presents, especially to family members. I give the guy a bottle of X-Action for men and the woman a bottle of women's X-Action. So that you can time your moods. In today's modern busy world, it's so hard sometimes for a woman to shut down all the things that she's dealing with in her brain and get into the mood when all you've got 15 minutes to see each other anyway. So that can be a real challenge in a relationship. For me, just two or three of those women's X-Action kind of puts me in the space where I can be put in the mood. We'll just put it that way. But the Damiana really helps to get you, you know, in the mood. And the men's X-Action, if you can be taking that, especially for an older man who's having problems with erectile dysfunction. By the way, diabetes will cause that, and that's one of the side effects of blood pressure medicine. So anybody you know on blood pressure medicine is having a problem there, and he may not tell you about it, but that's a real issue with a lot of older men and people on drugs, on medications. So it really helps to just really support the system and feed what needs to be done there. While we're talking about reproductive activity, the NFS is a product that stands for non-fertility. It's an old John Christopher formula. And I call that one baby in a bottle. I've had three or four babies out of that within 2 or 3 months of starting to take it. Another thing you can do if you're concerned about that, we as a society, by the way, the sperm count is going down as we're eating poorly, and men can take straight Damiana to help with that. Women can kind of get their hormones balanced using various blends of herbs. We got one blend called Female Comfort. Also, if you'll use progesterone cream for 2 or 3 months to get everything regulated, make sure the hormone material is available, then as soon as you stop, you're more fertile. So that's a way to get babies. Okay, Thomas.
Before we get away from men's X action and women's X action, there is an X action gel which works for both men and women.
And I got to introduce that at the company. Was that ever fun?
Really?
Yes. Yes.
They
put me on stage to tell everybody about that.
Yeah, I've had clients have great results from that one. And it's, you know, it can be disguised as a personal lubricant, but it does increase sensitivity for both men and women.
And it really does. So y'all want to get some. We got to tell them our website now that we've mentioned those products, huh? See, there's more to life than Smiling Bob. There are, you know, lots of companies that have products that work for that sort of thing. My email address is ngingrich, G-I-N-G-E-R-I-C-H, at cincy.rr.com. Email me if you want to know how to get into any of those products. And Thomas, give them yours.
Mine is tmeasley@hotmail.com. tmeasley@hotmail.com.
Did we get any calls in? I guess not. Thomas, we've got about 5 minutes. Anything else on that part of the body? And then let's move on to the liver.
I think let's move on to the liver.
All right, the liver is where a lot of these hormones are converted, and the liver contributes to the general health and well-being and good functioning of all of these glands as well. Glucose turns to glucagon and is stored in the liver. So that contributes to the balance of blood sugar in the body. Estrogen is converted in the liver. You want to talk about the phytoestrogens that you mentioned before, and how to repair the liver?
Okay, well, phytoestrogens are plant-based estrogens, and that's found in soy and red clover. What you want to stay, and those are safe estrogens, they are very weak estrogens. What you want to stay away from is what's called xenoestrogens, and that's man-made estrogens based around petroleum products, pesticides, herbicides, chemical fertilizers, plastic containers that you store your food in, hormones, and antibiotics that you pump your meats up on that you eat. All mimic estrogen in the body except for at about 10,000 times the normal strength. This is what's causing a worldwide decrease in sperm count as well as the earlier maturing of girls and boys. You look around now and you see girls and boys both having breast nubs at, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old. In Puerto Rico, an island where they ship all of their food in and spray it down with, you know, pesticides and herbicides and preservatives and wrap it all in plastic, there are actually girls there that are growing breasts at the age of 2 and menstruating at the age of 4 because of excess of estrogen in the body.
Wow. We'll be born menstruating soon.
And all this can be remedied by breaking that estrogen down, which is what the liver does, specifically the acylation and methylation pathways. So cruciferous vegetables, a chemical in those called indole-3-carbinol, or an extract of that called DIM, helps to open up that pathway and remove excess estrogen from the body, as well as N-acetylcysteine, MSM, SAMe, pantothenic acid, a little bit of green tea. You know, all of these things help open up what we call the phase 2 detox pathways in the liver, and they're extremely important for all aspects of health.
And milk thistle will help to rebuild the liver when it's been damaged.
Yes.
Truly will. Let's talk a little more about SAMe. We got 2 minutes to do that. We love this product. I got to help introduce this one, too, when we brought it out. It's a very volatile, difficult to maintain on the shelf. So it took a while for Nature's Sunshine to come out with it. And you want to watch your brands on this one because if it doesn't work for you fast, you got the wrong bottle. But SAMe, within 15 minutes, I am in a totally different mood, different space than before I took it. It's something that you can use instead of, actually to help wean yourself off of Prozac. They use it instead of Prozac in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great way to wean yourself off of those antidepressants.
Yeah, I can't say enough about SAMe. I started taking SAMe about a month ago, and it's the best month I've had in several years. It really does work on those liver pathways a lot more so than I would have ever thought. And it helps out with stress and anxiety and all that.
And side effects are that it actually helps to repair your joints.
Mm-hmm.
So where can you go wrong here? You know, side effects from drugs are going to be degenerating something. You know, it sort of pops you up. But SAMe is actually a stage of metabolic breakdown. And by supplementing that stage, you'll improve your mood and you'll be able to improve your joints. What it does is to help to tell the glucosamine where to go and put itself in the joints. Isn't that neat?
That is.
I just love this stuff. Now we'll just circle back to the general mood, you know, mood replacement throughout. When blood sugar drops, you can get downright paranoid and panicky, and it's not a mental problem. When your thyroid's hyperactive and your blood sugar's low, you're going to show signs of hyperactivity and you're going to act strange. When your liver is off, the Chinese actually call it the liver is the organ of anger or rage. And I think most of the road rage that's out there, I know you guys out there down in L.A. are having to deal with that on a daily basis, but road rage is about blood sugar going low at 5 in the evening before you've had your dinner, and your liver's off because everybody's going out drinking and using drugs. And every single drug that you use, including aspirin and especially Tylenol, will do damage to the liver. Therefore, it does damage to that whole endocrine system, too.
And just because your liver enzymes are normal does not mean that you don't have clogged liver. There are a variety of medical tests that are extremely in-depth that can determine which of your liver pathways are blocked, but they're very expensive. So I tell people, insurance won't cover them. I tell people, just cover your bases and take the phase 2 liver formulas.
And if you are taking Lipitor, which is damaging to the liver as well, you can substitute that with Chinese red rice. It does not do the damage to the liver. You can use things like for lowering cholesterol that would be much better for you. And that's another whole topic we're going to have to save for another time, cholesterol and what it really is, and its relationship to the liver as well.
Okay.
What do you say we quit? You guys, thanks for listening. And in fact, let's just kind of set the stage. What do you think, maybe cholesterol and go into the circulatory system next time?
Cholesterol and circulatory sounds great, Susan.
Okay, sounds good. We'll look for you in 2 weeks on Thursday night. Thank you all
so
for listening. Good night.
Good night.